I am dreaming of a desolate wasteland.
Vegas.
Ding, 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 ding.
No way.
Oh, no, this might be too easy.
Wow. Well, Eagle, we have to say off the record, you gave us too many hints before we started. But we tried it, and it was successful.
Vegas is probably the easiest city to guess in the whole U.S.
I think so.
Oh, no. I'm off to a... I mean, a good start / bad start, whatever you want to say.
I'd love to hear how the rest of your Vegas description would go, though.
I was just about to riff. I don't even know the rest. It would have been, you would have got it like the next second.
It is the most recognizable city in the entire world, potentially. So, well, boys, we're back. We're back home. The season is Dunzo.
That was the first intro of season two right there. Crushed Pepper. We
Crushed Pepper season two.
In theory, we have a new cover photo on Spotify that was taken earlier this summer by... Who actually took it?
Dustin was taking them.
It was Dustin. And yeah, we have a new theme.
Who gave us the peppers, Joey? We need a name.
Oh.
Your memories. You got this.
That's easy, actually. It's one of our diehard Crushed Pepper listeners. He listens to every episode from Estonia, Fred Eric. I definitely consider him a close friend. He gave me one after or in the middle of each of my first three rounds in Estonia. He had a different color. He caddied for Sexton.
He was at the ping pong event, right? On Saturday of the event?
Oh, the beer pong?
A ping pong event.
Yeah, he was. I'm sure he was there. That was an insane night. Thomas and Sophia, they almost created a really, really legendary tour story.
I didn't hear about this.
Well, they just, their team, everybody gets into pairs in this like kind of bracket style longer pong tournament. And you got a lot of Europeans there. You got a lot of Americans. The point is almost everybody there has played different rules. And there's like such loud music that the policing of the rules, and like every match has its own unique quite set of rules. Not all of them are used across every match. But I think everybody was like aware of that. So everybody's like really going over everything before every match because their opponents might play a totally different way. And yeah, it was a lot of disc golfers and a lot of non-disc golfers. And we were the last... Thomas and Sophia were the last disc golf team, and they made it to the semifinals, I'm pretty sure. They lost to this really obnoxious team from Estonia. So one girl was just like, we were working her pretty well with our cheering, and she hated it, and we loved that she hated it. So we just kind of leaned in. They barely won, but man.
Check out my vlog. You can watch it.
Yeah, you can.
All right. Happy Halloween, folks. Did you go trick-or-treating yet?
I'm going to after we're done recording. I got to get the candy. Got to get all the candy.
What is Eagle McMahon's candy? I want to know.
Boiled eggs.
Oh. Very fitting.
No, I have this brand of chocolate that I really enjoy, and you can get it at natural grocers, of course, Sprouts Farmers Market, Whole Foods Market, all the grocery stores that are health focused and too expensive. It's called Honey Mamas, and it's chocolate honey or honey chocolate, however you want to decipher it. And it's quite delicious.
And
that's my candy.
And the honey comes directly from bees whose pronouns were respected.
I don't know. Probably it's out of Portland, Oregon. So that would not surprise me.
What do we got today? Should we?
Okay, you got to answer the question. What's your candy?
Mine?
Oh, I have lots of candies.
Pick one.
Dime.
If I had to pick one, shout out Dime.
That's Dime is my choice. Dime is my favorite candy in the entire world, and I'm not even. There's nothing close. Nothing in America that can compete with Dime.
Well, I think we should separate chocolates from candy.
Chocolates are the heart of candy, in my opinion. We come from different universes.
No. Not all chocolate is candy. Like a chocolate bar is not candy. It's just a chocolate bar.
It's a candy bar.
I bought a bag of assorted
Is a hot dog a sandwich territory right now?
Look, I went to the grocery store today and I bought a bag of assorted candies to have for my giveaway bowl here at the house because I'm the only one here. And in that bag was Hershey's chocolate bars with nothing. Just Hershey's chocolate bars in the assorted candy bag.
That reminds me of Silva at Gyropalooza last weekend eating a Hershey's candy bar and just losing her mind on how bad it was.
So what we have to talk about? This is what we have to talk about, okay? We have to talk about the end of the season a little bit. Because we didn't talk about the end, and we have to talk about Gyropalooza, and I think there's some cool emails that we could read, and I also want to do Player of the Year stuff with you guys.
Ugh.
So
okay, fine.
We have plenty of things to do.
We have tons to do.
Let's start.
I can't wait.
Let's jump in to the. With the last episode that we recorded was right before the final round, and Eagle McMahon, holy cow, we had so much positivity on our podcast, and you started with a quadruple bogey on the first hole.
I thought I could forget about that.
And
oh my God, I have totally forgotten about that tournament even existed.
And then you bounced back and still shot under par. Absolutely unbelievable.
Well, I'll tell you the quick story. Hole one of Ivy Hill. There was a storm blowing in, like cold front, what have you. And step up to hole one, and it's probably the gustiest it was the entire day. I'm third on the card. Paul McBeth throws first. And he's trying to just like go for the basket, almost looks like. I don't know if he's trying to go for the basket, but he's trying to be aggressive. And he throws it straight out of bounds, like just not a great shot. Kyle does what the standard play is. He's like chips a little hyzer, but it gets so wind sheared that he gets slammed down before he ever even crosses in bounds. So at this point, I'm like, oh boy, what is going on? I opt to throw just a forehand, try to like drive it into the hill. And it just gets so wind sheared, similar to how Kyle shot did. And we all go to the drop zone. And I watch Paul get it in bounds, Kyle gets it in bounds, and I throw a shot I'm happy with, forehand out over the out of bounds. It's coming back. It hits the edge of the cart path. OB. Never crosses in. Then I throw my next shot. Even worse shot. Like, literally never crosses in. Like, no chance. And luckily, my third shot, I throw my delirium, which I never forehand. And I'm just, like, in panic mode. And I was starting to rapid fire shots, which is, like, the worst thing you can do from a drop zone. Fortunately, I've put it into the circle and tap in my quadruple bogey, 8. And woo-hoo! It was Ritana's birthday. We did a podcast, and like I'm feeling good coming off of the two prior rounds, and I just feel shook. And I don't even like know how I'm going to continue the round with any sort of focus, happiness. My mind is already like in Kentucky, where I want to be driving to get home. Fortunately, I was able to calm myself down and play pretty decent, get back to par eventually, then fight my way under par. Made a few more dumb mistakes down the stretch, but I maintain 7th place, which I was starting the day, and finish all in all with a pretty solid placement to end the year, and arguably my best performance of the year, which of course I'm happy with, but it's kind of sad to say that was my best performance, but trending in a good direction for next year. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, the wind was insane that round, and I think the play on hole one was just to go full send off the tee and just try to hit a late tree and cross inbound somewhere down far out there. Both rounds actually on that hole, I just took my delirium and just went full send turnover as hard as I could, hoping to land inbounds or somewhere cross inbounds way up there. And I got a birdie both rounds. But I was obviously never even in contention to playing a good event. So it's a whole different mindset at that point.
Yep.
Whole different mindset.
Yeah, brutal. Yeah, I saw the 8 and I was like, damn, that is not helpful.
But your event rating must have still put you in top 5, maybe even top 3, right? Overall, Eagle, even with the final round, without the stroke advantage, I think you would have finished probably top 5.
Yeah, I haven't dissected it and looked at everyone else's scores, but I think I probably would have gotten like maybe 4th or 5th. According to what everyone else shot, I know I would have beat Paul. I think I would have beat Ezra Robinson potentially, but you know, that's why. I mean, they had their points from the year, and they got the starting advantage, so they earned those spots. But yeah, it was a. It was a cool event. I know that Simon's mentioned that he doesn't necessarily enjoy playing those courses. I, on the other hand, you know, there's such a play good bias, in my opinion. And I've played well there the last 2 years. So guess what? I like those courses. And I am excited to go back for Champions Cup, Pro Tour Finals, if I qualify. And, you know, I think it is, I think it was a fun event overall. And it was wild coming down the stretch. I was watching Jomez, or listening to Jomez, on my ride back to Colorado. And I was kind of just curious with all the controversy, Aaron Gossage drama. And, it helped make my drive feel a little bit shorter, more entertaining.
I was on the bag for
you were
Calvin.
There.
Yeah. Yeah, I caddied just the final round at Ivy Hill. I was also on. I got the pleasure, the honor of co-hosting Staggered Stance with Matt Graham and Josh Graham and Ben Kennys and Nick Carl. And we had 4 guests. It was, I think, Gannon, Holland, Calvin, maybe that's it. Maybe just 3. I think it was 3. But I got, it was great practice for me because I had to shut up a lot. And and let them do the most of the talking, but we had a lot of discussion about hole 14 and beyond.
Yeah, I mean, that was wild series of events. And
yep, I mean, you know, it just was crazy. The fact that Calvin even that the first under par or over par stroke that he took was on hole 6, and if you think about the fact that on hole 2, 3, and 4 he threw out of bounds, it's
oh
like
yeah, watching it, I was like,
he could have been way worse. He should have been way over par, and then he finally gets under par on a really hard hole with a good putt, and I'm like, okay, here we go. And then he just without a doubt, the worst shot of his round. Maybe not one of the worst shots of his weekend. Just like, it's easy, a little bit, you give him a little bit of the benefit of the doubt because from that tee pad, it's a little protected. But even with no wind, I don't think that disc had a chance. I mean, he didn't, like, he just nosed up it, like, and didn't swing it out at all over the water. And then the layup rolls away and he doinks that putt, and all of a sudden it's like you just like absolutely worked insanely hard to not be over par, then you get under par, and now you're over par. You're
like, imagine you, if you, if Joey was a time traveler and you go back to that moment on, is it hole 7, the one across the water?
Yeah.
And you tell Calvin, you're going to win this tournament. Calvin would probably like throw you in the water, be like, how is that even possible?
I mean, yeah, he birdied like a few holes there. But then bogeying hole 12, it was like there was a little momentum with a couple birdies, but it was, nothing was clicking at all. And I can just say, like, we don't need to go too much into this because I think everybody has, but for me, like, without a doubt, the, like, that entire stretch of 15, 16, 17, the 4-under and 3 holes from Calvin, like, that doesn't happen without, like, the situation.
Divine interference.
With the situation on 14. I mean, that really frustrated him, the way that he got razzed, and, like, both, I think in retrospect with distance, now he can look at it, and he said it on a different podcast too, that, like, you know, I think he is frustrated more at his ability to, like, not reset, but, like, in the moment, like, he needed, like, something to kind of, like, piss him off, and I don't even know if he thought of it that way, but I saw that it was, like, he was really frustrated and really focused on that specific thing, and then watched his next two shots on 15 and realized that maybe it was okay that he was hyper focused on that. And I don't see any of that happening without the situation on the green of 14.
Wait, what razzed Calvin?
So basically I think Aaron missed his 35 footer and then went to, I think Calvin was like very much next after that and was kind of up there pretty much ready to putt. And Aaron decided, which is pretty, I would say it's pretty common in like pro cards, that it's okay if, like, if you doink your putt, that you can like
do a quick little tap out.
Yeah, do a quick little drop in and get out of there. But I don't know. I mean, he did it with a bit of a reaction, obviously, like slapping his leg with the disc and then kind of walking up, tapping it out, getting out of the way. The thing that I think messed up Calvin is A, having to like, he got kind of iced when he mentally like wanted to step up to his putt. He kind of had to like wait for an extra 15 seconds. But then also the like tailing gimbal cam got like kind of stuck on the hillside because he was like following Aaron off the green. But then Aaron kind of like stopped once Aaron was out of Calvin's view, but the camera guy was not. And that's like what really I think Calvin needed to have reset, and he didn't. And then he missed that putt on 14 after turfing his drive and being really aggressive. Like, we decided as both of us, from when we got there, we looked at it and we lasered it, and we decided, like, I mean, we didn't know what was about to happen. But we just decided, like, he had been playing so bad, he had to do something aggressive. And so, to have that, like, not pay off, he was so frustrated by that. And, like, I don't even think it, like, until we got to the tee of 17, I don't even think it, like, really, like, clicked in his head that, like, what had just happened. Like, he was just pissed about that whole incident. I don't know. It's just crazy how he used that to propel himself, because, I mean, the rest of that round was completely, from a throwing standpoint. Not a lot going right.
Absolutely. That's how it works out sometimes. He stayed persistent and struck. Shout out Calvin Heimberg.
Totally crazy.
Tour champion.
What I think is hilarious is that they tried to avoid the drama on hole 14, and it still happened on hole 14.
It still happened. We're all back home now.
My life. Okay, Kyle, let's switch topics here.
Yep.
I think the next topic is
also congrats to Holland Hanley.
Congratulations, Holland Hanley.
That's my girl.
That's an absolute redemption story after, like, having a total second half slump after dominating the first half of the year. All the haters were saying that she had lost it. She was, like, not going to get back to form. And I think, you know, she still has things she wants to improve upon from that slump. But to grab one last win at the end is super cool. So big congrats to her. And I think that...
You think she wants to improve?
I mean, I think she wants to figure out how to...
Are you sure?
Yeah, right.
What if she's happy exactly how she is?
I just don't... I know Holland. I know that's not how she operates.
But do you know Holland?
She's competitive. She just wants to figure out a way to not get burned out in the middle of the season. I think that's what it really was. It was a pretty big stretch with Europe in the middle of the year. But, I don't know. I think it maybe solidifies her for Player of the Year. And then...
That's a later topic.
We had...
Spoiler.
Had a fun week.
Eel, what's going on?
I'm just vibing. Right now I got my foot kicked up in the air, and I'm just chilling with the boys. And
the boys.
I want some... It's Halloween, and I feel like... getting some humor in on this podcast. We don't have to be so serious anymore. It's not the season.
Yep. Gyropalooza.
Tis the season, but it's not this season.
We went to Gyropalooza. We had the biggest MVP in-person event that has ever existed, but also that we've ever been to. They've had previous ones, but I don't think they were this big.
No. It was really cool to be a part of. Simon and I and the rest of the premier team, if those of you listening do not know, we got delivered in a limo, and then we went to sign discs for a total of 4 hours.
Were you signing that whole time?
With a 1 hour break in between. So we signed for 2 hours. Break and then another 2 hours. I think that's probably the longest stretch of signing discs that I've ever done, potentially.
I don't know. Some of those old school Discmania warehouse signings were pretty lengthy.
They were lengthy, but I think I knocked those out in like 3 hours total.
Yeah, like four times the volume, but faster.
Yeah, for sure. It was just like head down and like
Jerm made
through.
Real sure that line was moving nice and slow.
Oh, yeah.
Jerm's the small talk master. and make sure everyone gets exactly what they came for and what they want.
So. Germ and Raven. Well, Raven's really good at communicating to the fans.
Yeah.
Here's this theory that I've been talking about recently actually with Andrew and with other with Will. And we're talking about the difference in the quantity quality of fan in disc golf, and kind of talking about what type of fan is important for what type of disc golfer. Oh, trick or treaters! Yes, guys, here we go. This like we predicted.
We'll fill the gap. Yeah, I thought Gyropalooza was a big success from my point of view. It was shockingly basically exactly what I expected it to be, even though I've never really been part of such an event. Obviously, I heard some plannings and behind-the-scenes stuff. The limo entrance, Eagle, how did you feel?
I loved it. It was definitely cheesy, but I think for that event, it fit perfectly and like... We don't need a helicopter. I'm not a helicopter fan in all seriousness. So what's the next best thing? It's a limo. We rode in the limo for 50 minutes. All of the premier team other than Madison. Madison had quite a hard time getting to the event from what I hear. So unfortunately, she'll have to wait till next year to be in the limo. But yeah. Pulling into HQ and just seeing all the fans surrounding the limo as we walk out. It was definitely a special moment, and I'm, you know, hats off to MVP, and I'm very grateful that they did something like that to make us feel special, because they succeeded. I felt very special all day being at Gyropalooza and, you know, interacting with the fans, partaking in some of the activities. You know, I think it was all in all a great event. I think, of course, there's always things to improve on for next year. I've heard some people say that, you know, maybe there needs to be a little bit more entertainment involved when waiting in line, because there was a whole ton of very special releases throughout the day, and I know most people decided to just go through the line, and then as soon as they got their special discs, they repeated that process once again. So we're definitely working with the people at HQ to make the line aspect a little bit more fun.
So here's my, can I give you my idea, my pitch first?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Well, I think that Donnie's trivia needs to be done over the loudspeaker with a projector on the wall. And it's like a Kahoot that anybody can join from the line. And then you can just like hear Donnie and anybody who's in line who can see that wall, which is going to be up above everyone. So there's like no way you can't see, can just like participate in the trivia. And you can hear Donnie on the loudspeaker, so you don't even have to see him.
I love it.
Yeah, I like that idea. There should be constant games.
And there can be like guest hosts. Yeah, anybody. Yeah, we can have, it doesn't have to be just on him to like MC the whole time. But I think like having somebody.
You can have Crush Pepper live.
Yeah, I 100% agree. Yeah, exactly. We should have like a stage out there in the main room that's like where the trivia gets run from, but it's also where we have Crush Pepper.
And there should be one person's job who it is all day just to throw random discs into the line. So you have to be like,
oh
ready
my
at all
God.
Times to catch discs.
And you just get to keep the discs that you catch.
You get to keep it. Oh, yeah.
And they're like the exclusive.
They're only for exactly that purpose. You can't get them any other way unless you catch them in line at Gyropalooza.
Oh, my God. That's a very great idea.
Thank you.
Very great. Anyway, just to finish my thought, I was just thinking that for some players and some brands, like having a bulk amount of fans and getting like 100 new surface level fans is really important. And I think for some people like Germ and Raven, having like these individuals who are like really invested and having like five of those guys versus 15 surface level fans is like way more valuable to these like smaller players, because these diehard fans will really invest
to everybody, I think.
Yeah, I agree. But like I think the smaller brands can't possibly benefit any other way to their brand in a significant way other than through the diehard fans.
Yeah. Like, for example, like anytime I see Raven interact with fans, I honestly look up to Raven a lot in that regard. It's like kind of incredible how personable he is with everybody he meets. He is very polite and he makes everybody feel very special and seen. And he could honestly do a master class on it, and I would pay money, because it's I try my best to be there for fans, but you know, there's times where I'm a human, and it can be tough. But like, Raven does a very, very good job. So does Germ.
Well, but you also have him.
So do you, Joey. And
yes, I think you have a massive following.
You want some credit, Simon?
I'm good 90% of the time. I'm totally okay with that.
I'm good 90% of the time as well.
I think you guys both benefit from having like bulk fan bases, though. So it's like, it's not necessary for either of you to like be as deeply intricate into like every discussion with every fan. Like, it's more than plenty and polite to be just like nice and like you, but you know, like I think for someone like Germ, that, you know, by asking the right questions and like really kind of also expressing mutual interest in the fan, like that kind of benefits him down the road. Like,
right. And it also depends on the fan too. Some people just literally want to get their disc signed and
here's my question for the fans in the comments for this episode. What makes you want to get like more than one signature of the same player? Like
friends.
Is it all for friends, you think?
Yeah, or collections, different discs.
Because like stamps. I can like understand going through the line once with like, I don't know, let's say five discs. That makes sense. Okay? And like, maybe I have some that I want signed by everyone and some that I just want signed by a couple. Like, that all checks out to me. But like, multiple trips through the line, I think I would start to get self-conscious that like, they would just, everybody would know that I'm just like ripping through the line a bunch.
There are a few of those people.
And maybe they don't care. Maybe they're fine.
No, I liked it because I thought it was great too. There was a rule that you can get one disc signed at a time. So for those people who want to stand in line over and over again, they can get multiple signed.
I signed like 11 thrills this guy brought through.
11 wow. times.
But I was at the very end of the line and everyone always asked me, he's like, can I have multiple signed? I'm like, of course. I don't care. It's at the end of the line. It doesn't matter to me. I'll sign as many as you want.
So you were the bad boy of, you were the bad gyro boy?
I was the good.
I sign multiples all the time too.
I was the good gyro boy.
But speaking of signatures and crazy things, what blows my mind sometimes at any given Pro Tour event, obviously we always go to sign discs after our rounds, and sometimes I get done an hour and a half, sometimes more, before the lead card even gets close to being done with the round. But there's always like 30, let's say 20 to 50 people waiting in line to get a disc signed, which like they paid to be at this Pro Tour event. And instead of watching the leaders or whoever they want or sitting on different holes and checking out some action, they choose to wait in line to get signatures, which like it blows my mind that that's what people prefer to do over going and actually watching some action. Is that something that you've ever noticed, or is it just me?
I've noticed it. You think they just wait in line all day long for signatures and never go watch the action?
Well, USDGC. USDGC, for example, always comes down to the wire, one of the biggest disc golf events of the year. I mean, it's a spectacle, especially down the stretch. Every hole, anything can happen. And I get done with my round. When was it? Like a month ago-ish now? And there's just like 50 people waiting in line to get my signature. And I'm like, guys, don't you know there's freaking an insane battle for the U.S. title going on like four holes down the stretch here? Like, what are you doing here? But at the same time,
they love you.
I don't know.
Yeah, what I mean, like, that could be the one of the coolest things from the whole tournament. Like, you having a like personal interaction with Simon when he's not like mobbed by like, I don't know, a 200 person line. That's probably cooler than like craning over like 40 necks to see like part of a glimpse of AB throwing a shot on 17. I always think how hilarious it is. If you really want to spectate live well, you either have to like leapfrog holes, you have to be really quick and really smart about where you're going. And I don't know, it's just like, it's one of those sports where the front row seat is only really best from a spot that is almost inaccessible to the fans. Even like the VIP. Like the VIP is great, but if the VIP section is more than like one person deep, you're like no better off if you're like at the back of the VIP section. That's like a terrible place to watch live disc golf, in my opinion. So I think like, I don't know, I thought about it spectating at events, like if I was a fan, I don't know, I would set up for 17 and yeah, if you were there, Simon, shoot dang, I would get an autograph from Simon Lazat.
Shoot dang.
I don't know. Maybe I just feel like our signatures are so easy to get. Maybe that's not true, but it just feels that way because, I mean, it's every round we sit down for like 10 to 30 minutes afterwards just signing as many autographs as literally people want.
But I like don't think it. I don't think it's like, I think for most of the people who are getting an autograph, it's like a way to get like a 30-second little meet with you. And like, they're not like, you know, it's for your wall, and that signature will like trigger the memory of the encounter with you. But I think like 10% of your fans that are getting signatures at these, maybe 20%, are like trying to flip those things or sell them or doing it because of the value of your signature. It's about the interaction that
which
they get to have with you.
There isn't value to our signatures.
Right, of course. So the value is that they each get like 5 to 10 seconds to say something nice or to like ask you a question or to tell you that they really like your content or they love how you throw. And I don't know, you guys are their heroes, as cheeky and cheesy as that sounds from this end of it. And I think that the signature is just like a kind of a reminder for them to remember that moment again. And that's where the value really is in the autograph session.
Yeah, I mean, if you put it like that, it all makes sense. Sometimes I guess I struggle to look at it from that perspective because for me, disc golf is still this casual, random thing I just have always done my whole life. And I don't really pay enough attention to all the things going on around us nowadays.
Yeah,
it's just disc golf still.
Yep.
Yep. I mirror that thought.
I just can't imagine that most of those fans in line are like a high level collectors looking for value. I think they're mostly just people who enjoy playing disc golf and are admired by how well you guys do it.
Fair enough. Back to Jarpalooza. I have one story I want to tell from Jarpalooza, and that's all.
Is it the barnacle story?
No, it's a completely random story. That is not even a direct story. It's a complete indirect story, but...
I heard that story, Eagle.
I told you the story. It was wild.
It's one of the craziest stories I've ever heard.
Do you want to tell the barnacle story?
I want Simon to tell his story first.
Okay.
Well, now I feel like my story is going to not be good because the barnacle story sounds so amazing.
Yeah, so you go first.
All right, I go first. This is completely random. I don't even know why it stuck with me. But anyway, I made a vlog at this event. And YouTube has this new feature where you can listen to your vlogs in different languages. And I've never done that before, but I've known for a couple months that that's a thing, but I just never really bothered to check it out. So I checked it out. I had two hopes. One, I hoped that it would be actually my voice talking in a different language, because I know some AIs can like actually mimic your actual voice. And the second hope I had was that it's actually properly dubbing as you're speaking. Like it's almost like lip syncing, just in a different language. But both those things were totally not even close to being the case. It was kind of terrible. Like I listened to it in German. I'm lucky enough to be bilingual, of course, that I could actually understand what the AI was saying in German, but I knew what I was saying in English and how unbelievably off it was. And there was one specific thing the AI translated, which I thought was, I thought it was the funniest thing I ever heard, but it's actually not funny at all. It's just my bad humor. So when we were at the limo at the gas station before we got to the warehouse, my last sentence was, okay, we're headed to the warehouse after a quick pee break. So that's what I said in English. And obviously the word pee in English means peeing, but it also means the green little vegetable, a pea. So in German, the word for peeing and the word for the pea, the vegetable, are two completely different words. So in German, it translated my voice to saying, we're going to take a quick pee break, but in the context of a vegetable pee break, which I thought was the funniest thing, and it made me feel so much better and about AI, because there's I watch too many rabbit hole videos about AI and how it's going to take over everything, and we're like, the humanity is basically going to go under. But when it translated a pee break to a vegetable pee break, I felt better that AI was pretty far from taking over.
I mean, I don't think it's going to take over.
When we all stopped that gas station, we were all just
ready for some peas.
Eating a bowl of peas.
Anyway, I that amused me a lot, and I just had to share.
That's hilarious.
Wow. All
right, Barnacle Boy.
Oh, gosh.
Now to the good story. Let's hear it. What is barnacle? Can we clear that up first?
What is a barnacle? I don't know what... Gosh, they form in aquatic situations in the ocean, and I don't know what it's like. I don't know what it is.
It's like a crustacean. It's like a crustacean, or like a mussel. It's like a mussel, and it attaches itself to the sides of not only just like ship hulls and sides of docks, but also like living things like whales.
Okay, I just googled it. Yeah, it's like little...
It's like a leech, almost.
Shelly things.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Can you eat them?
I mean, mussels are a type of barnacle, aren't they? And people eat mussels all the time.
Probably the meat. It's probably, like, very small. But anyway, we were in the limo, and one of the new Gyropalooza releases is a particle. And I was telling Germ that I think he's really going to like this disc because he's been looking for an overstable approach putter that's similar to a stabilizer, maybe a little bit more overstable than an Envy. And I'm saying this might be your disc, because I was saying how good it feels. And Germ, being the goof he is, he starts rhyming things with particle. He's saying, like, he's gonna start throwing the particle and then write an article about the particle. And I can't remember all the rhymes, but barnacle ended up being a part of his rhyme with the particle. And it just became a thing that he had everybody listen to when he was like making up nonsense in the limo. So it was like barnacle, particle, article, quarticle, farticle, blah, blah, blah. So everyone was like, okay, this is funny. Okay, whatever. We're in the, or when we were signing discs in, and somebody brings a disc to be signed in the line, Germ starts freaking out. I'm at the end of the table and I look down and he just starts screaming, "Particle! Particle!" And he shows everybody at the table a disc with barnacles attached to it. And immediately my thought was, oh my gosh, we live in a simulation. How is this even possible that somebody brought a disc with barnacles to be signed after that conversation? It's like it miraculous. Like, wow. Like literally, what are the chances? I've never seen a disc with barnacles, and it happens the day that we have this Germs going off about this ridiculous imaginary disc.
I didn't see that disc. Someone brought a barnacle disc?
Yes. There was literally what? Barnacles like attached to the disc. And this guy was like showing it off like he was trying to like hype up a course, I think. Like a course that was like right next to the ocean or whatnot. And he's like, you're saying like you gotta come play and you get discs like this or something.
Yeah, that's another moment.
There almost needs to be a barnacle stamp particle at this point.
I mean, now that I made the podcast, for sure.
Shout out to the particle, too. I played one round recently with the particle, and I'm digging it.
I've never heard of this disc. Is this new?
So the particle is an out-of-production disc that they brought back because they just came out with the particle plastic, which is what... Germs Tempo was originally released in the newest plastic for MVP and Axiom. And yeah, it's like a little bit more overstable version of a Envy, but less than a stabilizer.
Entropy. Less than an entropy.
Less than an entropy.
Ooh, that sounds really awesome.
No, it's really good. I was throwing it and I'm like, damn, this is a very strong contender for my throwing putter for next year. I'm really digging it. So... I got to get a barnacle particle.
I met a die artist at Gyropalooza. I think he made a disc for you, Simon, like a fox.
Oh, I got the fox. Yeah. Beautiful die.
So that guy asked me. He said he wanted to make some discs. And you know the first thing I said I wanted him to make, Eagle, was? Can you think? Can you think?
Boost. Experian Boost.
No. No, you're close. You're close. It's like in that vein, and it's like Tracy Chapman. I told him about the Tracy Chapman idea. He thought it was hilarious. So
wow,
fingers crossed that comes through. But yeah, Gyropalooza. I think it was a success. I think I know internally, like they were really planning to make an event that they knew was going to succeed, and I think they. Are really using this year as like a jumping point for some bigger and better stuff next year. So I think...
Did you guys get beams?
Yep.
I didn't.
Because you didn't want them.
I mean, that's like the opposite of the Lazat philosophy. Lazat wants to throw all Simon line and...
The beam isn't even PDGA approved, I heard.
It is.
It's approved.
It's approved.
Are you sure?
Yes.
It got approved way back in the day.
Okay. Well, maybe I got misinformation there.
Shout out to the prototypes of the world, because without prototypes, you would not have so many discs ever.
There's our episode name. Shout out prototypes.
Very clickable. Very.
All right. Do we want to touch on the end of year awards.
We can talk about them briefly. Mainly what I wanted to talk about was that I think that the professional side of disc golf is missing out on an opportunity to have a unified and legitimate recognized Player of the Year award. And instead, right now, we have two different Player of the Year awards by two different organizations, neither with any attached anything. And I think that it is a waste of a really good prize to give out, and something that could be like used as an actual accolade for players and potentially associated with a bit of prize money. And I think that the PDGA and the Disc Golf Pro Tour need to kind of, they did a really good job with the tours unifying and kind of removing that separation. And I think the PDGA gives out a lot of great awards. I would only suggest they remove their Pro Player of the Year, MPO and FPO, and use those resources to combine with the Disc Golf Pro Tour to make a system that incorporates points that make sense, because the Player of the Year in PDGA doesn't make sense, like, to anyone, and that the point system. So that needs to make sense, and I think, like, creating some prize money around it, I don't know, just make it mean something. I think right now it's like nobody cares. And if you look at basketball, it'd be like if the MVP award was just like this pointless thing that nobody cared about. That's just like not true. The MVP award is massive. And so I think that that's like the same for us. The Player of the Year award is a big deal. And I think that the way it's distracted and separated between two awards that are very confusing, that's what I'd like to see change about that.
Tremendously put.
That's all you guys have to say about it.
I personally don't care at all about those awards.
I mean, that's like kind of to my point. Shouldn't we like make it? We like,
no, of course.
That's like literally my point. Simon doesn't not care at all. Like, that's the point. We have failed as a sport. If like the Player of the Year, which like could be a big fat thing, is like so irrelevant that like Simon doesn't care. Like, that's what I'm saying. We should make it to a point where you do care.
How do they do that?
I care.
Great, but like,
why?
I remember when PDGA usually they did it at Worlds. They'd give you one of their obelisks for the Player of the Year, or like European Player of the Year. And I know PDGA system back in the day was like kind of ridiculous, but I always thought it was cool, like, to have that in your own collection. And like, you, the player, if you win that, then you're gonna be feeling great about it. Like, it'll be a cool thing to look at. Like, Simon right now, for our listeners, Simon showing off his, what year?
2014, baby.
2014 European Player of the Year trophy statue obelisk.
No, I'm not saying that that's like a bad, that they should get rid of the Player of the Year award. I'm just saying they need to like combine forces with the PDJ. They're giving out the same award to two different, like, it's the same award, and you're giving it out to like the same group of people. Yes. And you're giving it out twice.
I forget what tangent I went off on. I agree with Joey. But there was a part of what you said that you said that you don't care currently, or it doesn't feel like it matters. I would disagree. I think it I think we got mixed up on this topic. It matters. That's what I'm saying.
You're saying it matters now. You're saying care now.
I care. I've always cared.
About which one? About the PDGA Player of the Year or the Pro Tour Player of the Year?
I cared about the PDGA back then, but then the Pro Tour didn't even have their Ken Climo Player of the Year. But yes, there needs to be, the PDGA could just get rid of theirs, in all honesty, because like, what's the point?
Right, if that's what I'm saying.
It's going to be on the Disc Golf Pro Tour.
And poor you, your Pro Player of the Year, yes. You, if you want to have a Player of the Year, make it your Amateur Player of the Year. Like, that's fine. But just, like, don't, like, if you want to support a Player of the Year award in the professional divisions, pour your
player
resources
of the year
into
to the
Disc Golf Pro
Tour. Best pro that wasn't on tour.
Oh, God. I mean, I think it's pretty easy for MPO this year, for the actual Player of the Year. Gannon Burr is going to run away with it. Nobody else won more than one pro major, and Gannon was one of those, and the major he won was Worlds.
Okay, let's obviously Gannon is going to get it. But if it wasn't Gannon, who would it be?
I think it would be Calvin. I think his two wins... well, you can make an argument for Niklas because he had three wins, but Calvin, like, by cash and by rating is like far and away, and by average place. I mean, he's the only other person outside of Gannon Burr with like an under 10 average place finish this year. And, yeah, there's a bunch of people with two wins this year, and both of Calvin's wins are massive wins. They're like number two and three in as far as like wins that you could have. Maybe like two and five if you consider all four majors before the Tour Championship. But I would consider winning the Tour Championship like one of the outside of the four majors, and like maybe even ahead of Champions Cup. Is it like a higher honor to win the Tour Championship? That's a huge deal.
I agree. All right, Simon didn't want to do this, but you know what? I'm sending it. Guys, you can go to the Disc Golf Pro Tour
.com/awards/awards.
Thank you,
and
Joey.
You can learn you can not only vote, but you can learn about all the different categories. You've got Player of the Year, Rookie of the Year, Most Improved Player, Comeback Player, Community Champion, and you can vote for the 8 MPO and FPO All-Stars for next year. And I think that the public, they also on each category they show the how the winner is calculated. So it shows what you are allowed to vote for. So I don't think the public gets to vote for everything, but
do we want to talk about our picks or
you can. Oh, I can't look at mine, but you can keep going.
I can tell you.
I already did mine.
Do you remember who you picked?
I think I put...
Most Improved FPO Player of 2025.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the end of year Player of the Year.
No, I'm
you're past.
Going through the whole thing. Okay. No, I'm at the beginning.
I picked Cadence.
Okay.
Cadence is a great pick.
I didn't pick anyone by stats, by the way. I just went on gut feeling. I didn't look at any numbers.
Most Improved MPO Player. I think I picked Ezra Aderholt, I'm pretty sure.
I think I picked Ezra Robinson.
I think Aderholt's... Both Ezras are good picks.
I think I'd go
Aderholt.
But why? He was always good. He just won one tournament.
He was way more consistent, though. He was like, think of his...
I mean,
was he, though?
Most Improved is totally subjective. It's just like, what do you look at? Do you look at, like, the largest jump? Like, you're just looking at who jumped the most spots? Or do we value the higher spots in the curve as, like, more impressive the higher you get to the top of the mountain? So,
well,
like...
I just remember, like... The thing with Ezra Robinson to start the year was like, this guy needs to win a Pro Tour, and he won two. So like he improved upon that, but to start the year, he was already in the 1040s. He was like destroying tournaments last year. I would say like he was kind of expected to win, whereas Ezra, like everyone was hoping, or Ezra Aderholt, that is, everybody was hoping that he was going to put a win in. And
here am I like, win, no, you keep going.
Yeah, like when he had the win at Discmania Challenge, and then he goes over to Europe and has that 14 under round. Like, honestly, like, I think he shot up probably the most of anybody, in my personal opinion. But that said, you could make an argument for the other Ezra.
I mean, I think that Ezra Aderholt is like one of the guys. I think Paul Kranz is another guy. I think Sullivan Tipton is another guy. I think you could argue like maybe a Harry Chase, but like, you know, if you look at the, on their website, right? Like their top contenders, two of their four top contenders from the pro tour is Silva Saarinen and Paul McBeth, right? I mean, those are top five players in the world, but like they look at the improvement from like no wins to four wins, or, you know, for McBeth having, you know, the first season without a win in 13 or 14 years, and then he gets two. I mean, does that qualify him for a comeback
calling
player
McBeth
of the year?
Most improved would be the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, but he's also up for a comeback player of the year. I mean, he's like in the discussion.
That's like
for
calling
both of
Julia
those.
Korver the rookie of the year again.
I mean, can Paul go from the least improved to then next year the most improved just because he had like one bad year? Like, that makes no sense.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at like most improved by average finish, it's Harry Chase. I mean, Harry Chase is on these lists here.
Harry Chase didn't even tour last year.
Right, I know, but that's like there's... They even break it down by categories here on their website. They have most improved by number of wins, most improved by average finish, most improved by average round rating, most improved by world standings. But I mean, to your point, dude, like Harry Chase is in there because he went up 251 spots in the world rankings. I bet you didn't even know there was 251 spots in the world rankings.
It's a terrible, terrible
And guess stat. What? Guess what? Guess what? He's in second place. There's a guy that we actually know, Rink Khan from the Netherlands, and he improved by 426 spots in the world standings this year.
That's amazing.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, because they played one event the year. They played like one event the year before and probably didn't do that good, and then they actually played events. That's literally what happened.
Yep.
All right. Vote for the 2025 FPO Comeback Player of the Year.
Comeback Player of the Year.
You have Katrina Allen, Paige Pierce, Valerie Mondojano, and Madison Walker. That's a Paige Pierce victory.
I went to Katrina Allen.
I voted for Katrina as well.
It's actually really impressive if you look at the...
Wait, Paige came back from injury or what? What was the comeback?
Yeah, technically.
Gosh, you're making me...
Yes, it was in 2023. Paige, 2023 at PCS Open.
I'm blurring them together.
She twisted her ankle so bad that she broke it.
Oh my God, I thought that was last year.
But here's my point, right? Paige,
I might be voting for Kat.
Paige went from 14th to 6th in the standings. Kat went from 36th to 13th. So that's like a
I'm
huge
voting for Kat.
Jump. And Kat had a Kat had a baby.
Kat had a baby.
Yep. Go Kat.
Yeah, I'm voting for Kat.
Call it a comeback.
That's way more of a comeback than Paige. I thought it
I
was
do,
last year.
I do want to do a special shout out.
You got it.
To
somebody special.
Madison Walker, who has been touring on the Disc Golf Pro Tour since the first year of the Disc Golf Pro Tour, as have both of you. And Madison Walker qualified for her first Disc Golf Pro Tour championship this year. And she also achieved her new highest rating of 950. And that's just really impressive to be reaching these super amazing milestones like kind of this far into your career. And I think that it's just cool. And I'm excited to see like where she improves next year. But it's just crazy that like she's getting better.
Congrats.
Shout out Madison. Yeah, that's really good. Especially when disc golf is the hardest it's ever been.
Mm-hmm. All right, what's next on your list there, sir?
Voting for the 2025 MPO Comeback Player of the Year.
Uh-huh.
We have Paul Kratz, Cole Redallen, Paul McBeth.
I mean, I
What did Paul Kratz come back from?
I know he had some back stuff.
Back stuff.
I feel bad. I don't mean to throw Paul under the bus. Or not. It's not even throwing him under the bus. I'm telling a story. He sends me a message yesterday. He says, Eagle, can you vote for me for the comeback player of the year? And he says, it's fine. Like he said, like, it's fine if you don't or whatever. And I felt bad because I already voted for Cole Redallen.
Is there any description on what exactly comeback means?
I'll read it for you. Ready?
Because I would put Paul under most improved more than I would
right.
as a comeback.
Exactly. That's my point. Paul is most improved, in my opinion, way more than comeback. I think Cole Redallen deserves that comeback player of the year award. But anyway, this is the description here.
Cole
Redallen might be a bit recency bias.
Well.
Because he won MVP Open.
But he also was on lead card final round at GMC and... a couple other tournaments, I thought. Wasn't he?
Idlewild?
Yeah. I think he was like playing really, he had a really good stretch.
No, Cole played pretty solid. Like he had his ups and downs, but I think
here's
when you
the description.
Look at comeback player of the year, it's gotta be Cole. Let's hear the description.
The DGPT Comeback Player of the Year Award celebrates players who have made a remarkable return to competitive disc golf, whether overcoming an injury, bouncing back from a career slump, returning to full touring after a life event, or reclaiming their place at the top after a time away from the game. This award recognizes resilience and determination.
Paul Kratz. I don't think he qualifies for any of those things. He doesn't come back from a career slump. His career started last year.
Yeah. I think most improved is great.
As much as
I would
love to vote for a friend, I don't think he...
I don't think
he qualifies for this.
I think most improved he would qualify. It just totally depends on how you look at most improved. Are you looking at how many people got you jumped in the standings, or are you looking at where you ended up like at the top? Like, does it matter more what you accomplished at the end, or does it matter like just the scale of the improvement? And I think that's different to each individual person. Like, improvement might be like way more impressive for some people if it's like from no wins to two wins, but maybe that's not as cool as jumping 50 people in tour standings from one year to the next.
It's like improving from 10-10 rated to 10-20 is way easier than improving from 10-20 to 10-30, and that's easier than improving from 10-30 to 10-40.
Right, right. So if you went from like, let's say you went from 10.35 to 10.50, or you went from like 9.95 to 10.40. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, well then that second one sounds a bit more impressive in that case.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Paul Kratz was 9.95. That's not what I'm trying to suggest, because he was obviously, like, everybody, especially in New England, knew who Paul Kratz was well before he started touring. He was PDGA Rookie of the Year before he even stepped on tour. But obviously the improvement from one season on was really cool. Obviously highlighted with some recency bias as well, obviously playing insanely well on the New England stretch, courses he knows well, propelling himself into the tour championship.
I played with him two rounds at the championships, actually, and oh boy, did he throw the disc well. Like, so much better than me. It is not even close. It was honestly pretty impressive.
All right, Eagle, where are you?
I think he had a poor final round.
Well, now it's to all-star votes, which you can vote for 8 FPL, which I don't think we really that. We don't need to
no
we don't need
to do talk it
about that. No, okay. Erica Stinchcomb, Jennifer Smiley.
Oh no, you don't have to say it. I just meant to do it quietly while we talk about something.
Ritana Meekum.
Yes.
Yeah. Maria Leivamagi.
Oh my god. Yes. That's hilarious.
Is Natalia on there? Is Natalia on there?
Oh my
god. We could pencil her in.
Really?
I don't know. All I'm gonna say is go. Well, Crush Pepper fans, go vote for us. You could vote. You're gonna be on there, Joey. Vote for Joey Tamale to make the 2025 All-Stars. Let's see what kind of listener power we have to make you an All-Star.
That would be this
next year.
Is that actually possible?
No, I think it is totally wrong to ask people to vote for you. I think everyone should vote for who they want to vote for. And because
here we have the European purist right here. Look at that. I mean, that is if that is not just European moral. I mean,
guys, go vote for vote for Joey wrong. And I.
What? Yeah, no, yes.
We want to be a part of the All-Star event.
Yeah, Simon doesn't want to be. Clearly doesn't want to be a part of the All-Star event.
Don't vote for Simon.
Don't vote for Simon. I think this is the century where
people should vote for me if they think I'm. Yeah,
we're past that. You know, that was like
they shouldn't vote for me.
That's like so like not like 2000.
You're always an all-star, Simon.
Well, then vote for me.
Hey, now you're an all-star.
Well, vote for me now.
We live in the time where we are just supposed to convince everybody to do what we want them to do, and freedom does. That's a 90s thing. Okay, we're on to just like. Crowdfunding our way into things. Let's get Joey into Pro Tour All-Stars and just totally like mess this whole machine up. I mean, like, how else are they gonna like put a limit on who can be an All-Star if we don't make them? That's what I'm saying.
This is a good social experiment.
I don't think it'll work.
Let's see if it will.
I'd watch.
If you listen to the Crush Pepper podcast, go vote for Joey Tamale to make the All-Star.
You have 50% weight. Isn't that crazy? 50% weight, and then the other 50% is media vote. Oh, and you know what's hilarious is that I worked with all those media guys. And I bet they're going to see that fan vote too if it's actually skewed. They won't let it through. It's like the House and the Senate, you know? Like, there's no way they're going to, like, allow that to happen. Oh, my goodness.
And there'll be a conspiracy. Was Joey Tamale robbed of being an all-star in 2026? Okay, do we have any emails before we sign it off?
Yeah, did you finish? You got all the way through your...
Well, that's all... Yeah, that's it. And there wasn't even talk of there wasn't even a talk of player of the year, I don't think.
What? Did you?
No, there wasn't. That's a different voting.
You didn't do it from the email? You're just on the website?
Yeah, for their end of season awards, there was no option. Currently, there is no player of the year option. I think I don't think they let the fans vote. Or wait.
Yeah, no, look, it says right here that the determining the winner, it's media vote and tour card vote. So you have to vote for player of the year on the email from the DGPT that we all got like a couple days ago.
So is it just players who determine it?
No, it's players and media.
Oh.
Do you want me to forward it to you?
I have it. I wasn't aware.
Yeah, I don't think you're technically supposed to vote for the fan from the fan side, but I did it by accident as well before I got the email.
Interesting.
Well, that's what I just did too, so.
Well, it is what it is. Well, do you want me to read some? The only thing I wanted to say about the end of the season year awards is that to my surprise and honor, I was nominated for the DGPT Community Champion Award. And that's an award that is only voted on by tour card holders. But to even get nominated, you have to get nominated by at least two other tour card holders. So it's just cool to look at the names that are up here. They're all like very important for our community.
Who are the other community nominees?
So 2024 is the first year they did the awards. There was one by Paul, Macbeth, and Kristen. And this year, the other nominated players, it's two separate awards, MPO and FPO. So in FPO, you have Kristen, Ella, where's my scrolling? Missy and Holland. And then for MPO, you have Paul. And then is it, let's see, Luke Humphreys, Paul Macbeth, obviously, Sullivan Tipton, and myself.
I know who I'm voting for.
And Owen Scoggins. Whoops, sorry. Sorry, Owen. I didn't. This way they have this website set up for scrolling is a little weird. But obviously, a lot of amazing people that I think we're all happy are a part of our touring community. So I'm very grateful. I love the community. I love using any skills or time that I have to help people when I can. And I think that those who know me on the road know that I do take a lot of time and energy to try to support players in the ways that I know best, which is mostly media. Yeah, very cool to be recognized by my peers.
No, totally. Like, from an outside perspective, just seeing how many connections Joey has, and all very quality connections, and a lot of the content you see is because of Joey, and he's just, you're doing your best to grow disc golf in every way, and also being a good friend to everybody, and, you know, I know I really appreciate you on tour. Simon can say the same thing, and so many others out on tour as well. Like, it's, tour would not be the same without you, Joey, and we're getting sappy here, but it's good that you are nominated on the list. It's, I think
I agree.
You totally fitting. Deserve it.
I'm happy to
very
be fitting. There.
I would vote.
Unfortunately, the fans can't. It makes sense, honestly. They're not really like on tour. It makes sense that vote is exclusive to, I think it's, is it exclusive to tour card? It's tour card nomination and vote, 100%. So it's only players who can select the winners of these. So
if
should we read
the
some
tour
emails?
Was a big cake, Joey would be, would you be the egg that holds it all together?
Wow.
Would you be the sugar that you
is that,
that
the
makes
title
it sweet?
Of that? I think that's the title of the episode. The egg that holds it all together.
Or would you be the sugar that makes it sweet?
I think that's more accurate. I think I try to be helpful.
So you'd be like the baking powder.
I like the sugar. What was wrong with the sugar?
Okay. Yeah, let's read a few emails.
I'd say Joey is the frosting.
Frosting.
Joey is the frosting. Joey's the glaze.
Here's a great email. You ready? This one is from Aaron. Yes. Aaron Warren. Morning, guys. I've been listening to the podcast since the beginning. Look forward to each episode. It's been great. This isn't really an email for discussion, but just wondering if Simon has a couple white pixels left over. The pixel is the disc that got me into MVP disc, and I've been searching for white pixels for well over a year now. Well, guess what, Aaron? They were at Gyropalooza.
Gyropalooza.
They were there. I saw them. It was exactly the same as the ones in your basement.
exact same ones. I could not believe MVP would do that to me.
And are they all gone? Yeah,
they got to come up with a different color combo for you now.
I thought I was special.
I made the switch in the last couple weeks to a new putting putter. I'm now putting with the Electron Soft Proxy, and I was at the factory and I picked out some very unique proxies that are pretty sick. I think most of them are all black in the middle, like midnight black, and then the teal core. So I call them mint chocolate chip.
Proxy might be comeback disc of the year.
Yeah.
I feel like the proxy is making a re-entrance into everyone's bag.
Yeah, Paul
comeback
Kranz.
Comeback disc of the year award stamped proxies.
Oh, make it happen.
Wow. Chills. Comeback disc. What do you think it was, like down and out? It was just like not in a good space as a disc?
I don't know. I felt like for a long time, I know I'm probably completely disregarding a lot of team players right now, but I felt like I was like the lone proxy thrower out there. Obviously, I don't putt with the proxy, and that's what kind of it seems like it's finding its way to people's back in the shape of putting putter.
I think you're right. Outside of Madison, who I know has putted with them for a bit, it's all newer players. It's Silva, it's Paul Kranz, it's me. That's all a lot of newer players that would be doing with the proxy.
Raven mentioned that he might take the envy out of his bag for a proxy.
I mean, I've been preaching proxy from the freaking start.
Preaching proxy. That's another good episode name.
It's a very good name. But yeah, I don't know if those white on white pixels will be ever online available or like as a thing. I have about 100 of them left, maybe. I've been going through them like shockingly fast. I like switched putters like every three tournaments. Not sure if it helped since my putting stats are questionable.
I think we maybe have talked about this previously on the podcast, but do you remember 2021 Preserve? When you like gave away so many discs that week, including your putters, that you used two practice putters out of the practice basket in the front yard of Airbnb that were like my links that you like took to the course and used. And you like, I think you had like your best stats of the weekend with those.
I don't remember, but it sounds like something I would do. Very on brand.
Oh, I remember this.
That's the weekend that we got the boat.
That was a good week. The wildfires.
That was crazy.
That was crazy.
All right. What's up, Papa Peppers? Love the content. This is from Shane Medellin, Medellin. It almost looks like a Medellin, but I mean, I don't think that's right. Love the content. When are we getting a special guest? Last week. Maybe more in the future. We'll see. I want to build a Scoville playlist with some spicy tunes. What songs, artists, or bands have you guys been ripping lately? It's crazy how much spice has ended up in my life since the start of this podcast, and I would not say that I am necessarily a very spicy guy. It just like my last name associates well with that logo and then the podcast, and I'm not against trying it, but I have eaten more spicy hot peppers this year than I think I wanted to.
That's the price you pay.
That is the price I pay. Spicy
tunes. But seriously,
tunes.
Shout out to the people giving us hot sauce.
Yeah, we get hot sauce at like every event.
On hot sauces.
It's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Freaking, my pantry is a hot sauce heaven right now.
I got this really, really, really spicy bag of peppers from a fan at D-Glo, and I brought them to HQ, and there's a one of the guys who works at HQ, shout out Josiah. We were all like standing around, me and a bunch of the staff were looking at these peppers, and nobody was like kind of man enough to really try it. And Josiah walked up and just like ate a huge, I think he ate one all and like a champ. And I like cut off a little section, and that thing burned in my mouth for like the next hour. I remember like it was horrible. I mean, instantly I had to take off my sweater, just like instant body temperature increase of like 10 degrees.
I'm going to put it out there that I prefer a milder pepper in general. I want like more of a flavory hot sauce rather than just pure heat. If you're going to gift me hot sauces, I'll just say that.
I mean, I'm like, I am going to ask for like guacamole or something. That's just like not on the theme of our podcast, but, and I know it's not like hot sauce. And if you bring me hot sauce, I won't say no. I'll take it.
Somebody's going to bring you guacamole.
I'd rather have, I'll eat it right there probably. That's like down the hatch. Just want to put that out there. But if you bring me hot sauce, it will go to a good somewhere, to a good home, to someone. Somebody will make use of that. It just might not be me.
All right, what tunes?
What tunes are we listening to?
Jamming on.
I'm
Miley Cyrus recently.
I have a project.
Come back in my playlist.
Miley Cyrus.
Comeback artist of the year.
Miley Cyrus.
What era of Miley Cyrus are you listening to?
The 7 Things I Hate About You.
Oh wow, Hannah Montana.
Absolute banger. I do this thing where I get a song like stuck in my head, and then I go on YouTube and just look at every single cover anyone's ever done of the song and listen through all of those. So then I've listened to the same song 50 times in a row, but 50 different versions of it. And then I repeat that until I'm sick of the song and choose a new song to do that with.
Has Emmett gotten into K-pop Demon Hunters?
Still working on it. He's not into it yet.
Are you into it?
No.
Really?
Not at all. I don't even know what that is.
It's a cultural phenomenon. So there was this...
I also don't know what this is.
Oh my... So literally, the one song went platinum on Billboard this year. And the song is from... Or songs. It's basically like an animated musical. Hence the name K-pop Demon Hunters. It's these K-pop idols who are also demon hunters. I think it's streaming on Netflix or wherever. But... you know, good movie. I like that kind of stuff since I'm a huge anime guy. And the music is great. Like, absolutely incredible. Some people are probably laughing at me, but, you know, I like J-pop, K-pop. Ritana is huge into K-pop, and she's the one who turned it on to me. And it's literally just completely stuck in my head. The one song, the one hit song. I mean, you're going to love it, Simon. If you like musical stuff like Greatest Showman or anything like kind of childish and fun, it's tremendous.
Well, I'm willing to give it a listen. I need something that I'm obsessed with now.
And
again, I need something new and different.
And like the story, too, is pretty wild. It's like the main singer and like the kind of the... what the movie's based on, she was like brought up to be like a K-pop idol, but their agency said basically, you know, they have very high standards. She never made the cut. So she went to go study in New York, and she like studied psychology, but then also like songwriting. And then somebody she knew in the industry asked her to start like writing songs in the K-pop world. And she becomes a really like well-known songwriter. And then later on, like the kind of the story is that she's like a little bit of a failure because she never got to become the K-pop idol as a kid that she dreamed of being. And she got this role in the movie to sing, and like the animated character's kind of based off of her, and literally became like the biggest cultural icon in Korean American music ever. with this movie.
So what's her name?
Really, really cool story. EJ.
EJ.
That's her artist name. It's spelled E-J-A-E.
Okay.
I could have a whole podcast about this.
Yeah.
I'm always listening to a bunch of stuff. And like some of my favorite tracks right now and the people that I'm listening to, probably one of my albums of the year is Innermost by one of my favorite artists, Solar Stone. Really good new track is Runaways by The Midnight featuring Bonnie McKee. And for the more like psychedelic style, A Paradox of Witches by Younger Brother. So I could give you way more, but let's stop there. What do you got to say, Joey?
I'm currently listening to every album released by the Beatles in chronological order.
Okay. Okay.
Boy, do I have a good video for you then.
They're just like my favorite band, and I've never like actually gone through and listened to like all their music.
You said Chicago was your favorite band.
They are my favorite band, technically. They have my favorite sound. The Beatles were my first love, so I suppose that's the more correct way. The Beatles are the reason that I love that era of music. I started my love for the Beatles when I was barely 4 years old. So that's what I'm doing right now, just so I have like a better understanding.
What album are you on?
I just listened to Help. Or no, I might have also listened to Revolver. I might be on Revolver. I'm like pretty far in. I don't know. I went through the early stuff pretty quick. I'm not that into that stuff. Here's like a good.
That's my favorite Beatles album.
Yeah, that's on the way. All their late stuff is really great, in my opinion. Here's a good email from a good question from Taylor O'Connor.
Last email.
Oh, I think we can find one better one, but this one is good. If the three of you were in a band, just the three of you, what music would you play and who would play each instrument?
Oh boy, this is gonna be a highly contentious band, I feel like.
I think Eagle would be good on the synthesizer. Is that a word?
Okay, okay, the keys. All right.
Keyboard, synthesizer. Yep. Yeah.
Okay.
On the decks. I would be probably on the strings of sorts.
I'm going to be drumming then, because that's actually what that's my musical experience.
And we're all singing. Everyone has a mic to the mouth.
Yep. Yep.
And I think it's going to be wild.
And what kind of music are we making?
What's our sound?
I'm going to play like a beautiful love song on guitar. Joey's going to like give me a nice little groove on the drums, and Eagle's just going to solo freestyle on the keys.
I'll make our band experimental.
Yeah. Your signature move is
you'll never know what you're going to get from me.
I like it.
Well, guys, we're at Crush Pepper XL territory by about 10 minutes. And I'm very fortunate. Ratana is making something that smells really good right now.
Well, you're lucky. My whole family's already asleep, and I have to go crawl into my little dark room and make no noise and go to bed. I'm already like 2 hours past my bedtime right now. Unbelievable.
You're supposed to go to bed at 7:30?
Yeah, that's what we usually do.
Here's a great final question. When somebody asks you what you do and you don't want to tell them that you're a professional disc golfer and go into the whole story, do you have like a like answer that you always have in your back pocket?
Ooh.
I usually just tell them.
I've had some situation where I said disc golf and they've misunderstood. One time they thought I was just a golfer and I was like a professional golfer, so I just went with that. And the other time They thought I was like a disc, like a DJ. So I just went with that. But I usually just say Frisbee. I play Frisbee for a living.
Oh, I say professional athlete. I've said that.
I throw Frisbees.
That's a good answer.
I say I'm a filmmaker.
Filmmaker?
Because you are.
I mean, so if I want to talk to somebody, then I'll tell them what's actually going on. All right, you guys, that was a long one. I really think that a lot of these emails that have been coming in recently are pretty great. We gotta get to the end of these, but we've gotten a lot of great ones, and we did catch up a lot here. And just thank you all for listening and enjoying this and sending us great questions. And I felt the love at Gyropalooza. There's so many of you out there. And dude, do you guys have the same? People will be like, "Oh, hey, Joey Scoville Unit here." I love so oh, yeah. Hilarious. I think that's. I love it. It's great. Makes me smile.
Scoville Unit is pretty good.
It makes me smile.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, it's like feels like military almost. Like, Sergeant, I have Scoville Unit here reporting.
We love it.
What is this episode called?
Comeback Disc of the Year.
Comeback Disc of the Year. That is perfect.
That's perfect.
Comeback Disc of the Year. Simon, I'm going to be out with you next week.
Yeah, let's not say where we're going, but you can say that we are going somewhere.
We're
going
to be together.
Can I come?
Together.
Eagle, every time that Simon and I meet up during the off season, you always tease us that you're going to come and join and hang out, and then you never do.
Where you are going, it sounds cool, but I don't really want to go right now.
All right, Eagle, go eat.
I'm going to go eat. Comeback Disc of the Year.
Comeback
is the proxy
of the year. And I think maybe next week we'll try to get another one in while we're Simon and I are together,
but in separate rooms.
Yeah, that's right.
In separate rooms.
You can let that run. Let your imagination run wild, you little Scovillers. We will see you in wait, what did you say? The Comeback Disc of the Year. We'll see you.
It's the Comeback Disc of the Year.
Yep.
Wow, that's cool.
That's just what it is.
Yeah, that's just what it is.
All right.
All right, everybody. See you next time. Boy. Gosh, that's we have to have Will do a little
that
bit.
That has right to there. Be the episode intro.
Oh gosh, I don't even know what I just said.
Oh, that's hilarious.